I honor you. You are holy. You are holy. Lion of Judah. Lion of Judah. Come and roar in this place. Roar in this. Lion of Judah. Lion of Judah. Oh, you are holy. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the Word of God, there is power.
In the name of Jesus, every knee must bow.
Hallelujah.
In the Word of God, there is power. In the name of Jesus, every knee must bow.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory as we honor you, oh Lord. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you, Father. You are wonderful God. You are worthy, oh Lord, Daddy. You are wonderful, Lord. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful God. You are worthy of my praise. You are wonderful, Lord. You are worthy, oh Lord.
Father in heaven, we thank you. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for counting us among the living. We thank you for the breath of life, oh Lord. We thank you for journey mercies. We thank you for this week being declared the Children's Week. Father, we bless your holy name. Lord Jehovah, I have no word of my own. I ask that you please come and teach us your word and help us to live by your word and to be doers of your word all the days of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We welcome you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Please come and have preeminence in all that we do in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. So by the grace of God, tonight's topic is titled, Be Wise as Serpents and Harmless as Doves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, as I was going through this, you know, the title of this topic came to mind this past weekend, and it really relates also with Children's Week. When we talk about children, you know, one of the characteristics of children is that they're very humble. You know, they're very wise. Don't think by their young age that, you know, even though their brain is still developing, they're very, very wise. Praise the name of the Lord. So our main text will be from Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 20. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 20. And I read, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Praise the name of the Lord. We look at that message. It's really our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, letting the disciples know of what is to come and how they're to prepare and to allow the Holy Spirit basically to lead them and direct them. And we see that today. We have heard time and time again that the end is near, and it's getting closer indeed. Looking at all the things that are going on right now, there's only, you know, from all the things the Bible has said that will happen, about majority of it has already occurred. So when we talk about this passage, one of the things that struck out to me, even as I was just reading it now, it said, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. But listen to this part. It says, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Think about that. Other churches accusing people when we're supposed to be as one, as children of God, the church of God is supposed to be as one. But look at what it said. They will scourge you in their synagogues. So when I talk about be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, I was really thinking about it and asking God for understanding. What does it really mean to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? So before I give my own definition of it, I would like to go around and ask everyone, what does it mean to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? Praise the name of the Lord. Anybody like to give their own definition of the phrase, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? What does that mean to you?
To major subjects that the Bible is trying to use as an analogy, the serpent and the dove. Want to look at their qualities and what they are, you know, for us to be able to get a picture or understanding what the Bible is trying to tell us. And it says, be wise as a serpent. And we know for sure, you know, at times maybe in that scripture, the word serpent may not necessarily be snake, or, you know, that's the way the Bible describes it, but I'm going to use snake. Praise the Lord. I'm going to use snake to describe this now. So if you look at it naturally, the snake is, you know, is very sly, and at times it's hard for you to see them. They know how to camouflage and blend with the environment, as it were. And particularly if in the event of them trying to get a prey, they are so sleek and very, very smart, they won't even make any noise, and the prey won't even know they are coming. And that, to a large extent, is a way of trying to describe, you know, the way we should be as children of God. That despite the fact that people around us would become so noisy, make so much noise, but because of the fact that we know who we are, we don't make noise for us to get what we want. We don't make noise for us to get, you know, get to where God wants us to be. And on the other hand, if you look at the dove, it says, be gentle as the dove. The dove, many a times they use it as a sign of peace and a sign of, you know, you don't want any trouble, you don't want to be the reason for a cause of any kind of, you know, disturbance whatsoever. So in a sense, that's just the way God is trying to describe our kind of personality, like based on the whole kind of what we are talking about, from what Jesus was describing, what the disciples are going to go through. Their disposition, how they need to be, how they need to be very, very gentle. They need not to be the very ones who will instigate that kind of response to them. So praise the Lord. I don't know whether I made any mark.
Praise the Lord. For those who just came in, our topic is titled, Be Wise as a Serpent and Harmless as a Dove. And our main text is Matthew 10:16-20. Before I give you the mic, one of the things I actually thought about is, if you look at what our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, he said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Those are two, you know, what I call animals that are complete opposites of each other. A serpent is wise. It's also a very dangerous reptile. A dove is harmless, but it, you know, it's gentle. So I was really thinking about that. He was talking about serpent, wise, but it's harmful. But a dove is very gentle. So I was just really thinking about it. It's just to be wise. Not that you should be aggressive and be thinking that you can be physically aggressive and thinking that you're doing the will of God. You are to be wise, you're to be gentle. You know, that he's talking about being wise and then being humble at the same time. Being humble, but also being very focused, like a soldier of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The way I'm, let me try to put it my own way too. That person is a warning against persecution. Christians will be persecuted. It's all about persecution, because from the account that we have read. In the midst of this persecution, we are not supposed to be fools, you know. We are not supposed to open up ourselves, you know, to be damaged. We are supposed to be wise at the same time and be harmless. You can live with, if you live with somebody that has the spirit of witchcraft in the house, you know that person is a witch or a wizard. And you are a child of God, two different people. You are not going to be going to kill her, the person I'm putting it on his face, you know, to him openly. Oh, you are, I know that you're a witch. I know that you can't do anything and be blabbing. You can't do that. You know that this is the dangerous ground. So you have to be very wise in dealing with her. At the same time, at night, you go to your closet. You know what you're releasing, paralyzing that power that is there so that you cannot get up. You're not going to be harmless to her. It's like you relate with her like you relate with any other person in the house, but yet you know who you're dealing with. And then you know where to fight, not before her. That's the way I look at it. Praise the Lord.
Actually, I was going in line with what Mommy Musu had said, because the Bible says that he has sent us, but his disciples, into the world to where the wolves are. So, and we should be wise as serpents. Serpents are very wise. So, as Christians, as children of God, I believe what that verse is again telling us is that we should be, you know, very, very wise. We should be eyes should open. Our spiritual eyes should be able to identify the traps that is out there for us to make us derail or lose it or miss it. Because the wolves are there. Wolves are ready to hit the sheep. They are ready. That's their mission, to hit sheep. So we as disciples, as children of God, we should be ready and vigilant and be able to discern, you know, when, you know, around, descend spiritually so that we don't fall into the hands of the wolves, so that we don't, you know, get destroyed. And also, as I said, as a dove, doves are gentle, and we need to be, you know, solely committed to God. Gentle doesn't mean you should be gullible. Gentle doesn't mean you should be, you know, you should be trampled upon, but gentle as to what God has committed and asked you to do, and doing it according to his word and according to his will. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I think generally we have covered it. I think the key points there is this, the one that came out later. Before even Jesus was saying this, he said, I'm sending you out like a sheep among wolves. I mean, the first thing, if you are like a sheep among the wolves, the first thing that concerns you is survival. You must be able to survive. And it takes wisdom, because you can't stand the wolf either in strength or, I mean, when you look at the two, I don't know how many of us have seen the wolf really in life. They are very aggressive, and they will eat, they will pieces the sheep. So it's trying to let them know how that the weakness in them and comparing to where the terrain that they have to operate. He also even brought it down later. You see the other verses talking about men among men, so that they will understand what is calling wolves and not wolves like animals, but even men. And therefore, you need wisdom to tread and to remain, you said, focused in that kind of situation. But above all this, you cannot be aggressive. You cannot behave like the wolf, because you don't even have the strength, the ability to confront the wolf. So what does that one mean? And that is why he spoke in another verse later, that when you are even in trouble, do not be worried, because there's somebody. It is because of that somebody that you can remain like a dove. That's the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who will now guide, who will speak on your behalf, who will guide you in the way to go. It's the Holy Spirit who will take the Jesus will fight for you. He is the one who will take over the battle with the wolf. But even when you are in trouble, there is somebody there who will guide you. So why do you need to be aggressive and begin to struggle? You don't need that. So you only now need to be wise and know that you have somebody behind you that will guide and lead you throughout in the midst of the wolves.
Praise the name of the Lord. So from my understanding, when it talks about be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, is where it's talking about, you know, having that understanding to be humble and to understand that the only way that you can overcome all things is by the grace of God and by the strength of the Holy Spirit. Because when he talked about, I'm sending you as sheep amongst wolves, means you're going to be in a very difficult and trying situations that without me, you cannot succeed. So you look at sheep. Sheep cannot overwhelm wolves. We already know that. That is an example of us as children of God. We cannot overcome the enemy without the help of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I was looking at when we talked about those that are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, one of the best examples are children. Children are very wise. They listen. You know, when you call them, like if you call one of these children in the church, you just call them by name to come here, they'll come. But if it's like an adult, before you know it, they'll ask you, what happened? Do you need something? Some children, they won't even ask you, what do you need? They just come right away. You know, there's that humility. So when we're talking about be wise as serpent and harmless as dove, is that in this journey that we're going on, that we're going in as sheep amongst wolves, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. There's a common saying that says you got to walk before you can run. Many people in the ministry today are running before they can even learn how to walk. Many are trying to walk without perfecting crawling. You know, people are saying that in a year now I should be a pastor when they're not even an ordinary worker. Or some people want to plant parish but have not gone through those necessary steps. You know, not just following, you know, School of Disciples, all those classes and everything, because there's a lot of people on paper, they should be ordained, but spiritually, if you have to check yourself. It's not just going through motions. You have to go through the furnace of formation with the help of the Holy Spirit. When we look at that Bible verse where it said sheep amongst wolves, that means as sheep, we have to be careful. The Lord said the sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Because without the direction of God, you want to walk amongst wolves. That person is walking into destruction. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So I just want to give some few characteristics to describe those that are wise as serpents and are harmless as doves. So some of the characteristics, like when we're talking about children, children are patient. What is the one thing that really caused Moses to miss the promised land? Impatience. Anger. One of the things that I'm learning now is, even as children of God, you know, when it comes to our enemy, the devil, many times he wants us to get angry, because he knows when we get angry, we make mistake. And we have to be very careful. That's why the Bible said, be ye angry, but do not sin. And sin, it says, sin not. We have to be very, very careful. Some people sometimes, like, they have offense and they're like, oh, I must tell this person off. I must really deal with this person very well. This person said this to me. I have to tell them off. And in many cases, the Holy Spirit will tell you, relax, take it easy. Because very often, when people are angry, they make bad decisions. As humans, when we're angry, many times we make bad decisions. We say things that we ought not to say. We do things that we ought not to be doing. Look at the command that God gave Moses. He said to speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He striked it. He not only striked it once, they said he striked it three times. That's an example of someone who is angry. Praise the name of the Lord. So like I said, to describe those that are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, they are patient. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 5, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. As children of God, we need to be patient, even concerning the promises of God for our lives. There's nothing wrong with becoming a pastor or becoming a deacon, but let us allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. Let us serve the God of those positions, not the position itself. Praise the name of the Lord. Joseph was patient concerning the promise of God for his life. Look at all the dreams and visions he was given. But look at when it actually happened. He was very young when all these things were revealed to him. But look at all that he went through. His brothers sold him. And then the issue with Potiphar's wife. Then ending up in prison. Then the person getting out of prison, forgetting to mention him. Then him finally getting out of prison. Then all the way to having that position near Pharaoh. He had to go through things. They've often told us there's no glory without a story. We need to be patient concerning the promises of God for our lives. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalted fully. Look at our Father in the Lord, Pastor Adeboye, Daddy Gio. See how he doesn't get easily angry. He's very humble. He talked about when he was asking God for, you know, I think he was asking for the anointing of Elijah and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, all together, and then double it again. And then God was telling him that, well, you have to be very careful. You can't be angry. So when he was asking God for these things, God basically told him that, you know, you can't be angry, because that anointing of God upon his life is very, you know, very, very strong. And he has to be very careful, because sometimes when we ask God for things, You know, when we ask God for strength, for more grace, for anointing, sometimes we forget the fact that there's an enemy out there that wants us to do things wrong and make a mistake. We can use the example of Elisha, how, look at the anointing that was upon his life and look how he quickly reacted when some children were making fun of him. We have to be careful with what we say. As we draw closer to God, as we move higher, you know, spiritually, we have to be very, very careful with what we say to others and what we do. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Like I said, waiting on the promises of God. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The children of Israel, many of them, they were impatient. And that's why at the end of the day, a lot of them did not enter the promised land. A journey that was supposed to take 40 days took 40 years. Why? Because they were all impatient. We need to be patient concerning the promises of God for our lives. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Praise the name of the Lord. For those who just entered, our topic tonight is titled, Be Wise as a Serpent and Harmless as a Dove. Our main text is Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 20. So the second point of those that are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, they are humble. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. In this race, humility is key. Humility is key. There is also holiness. Our Father and the Lord talks about it all the time, holiness, holiness. And it's very, very important. Even the holiness itself, the Bible says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Even holiness must be perfected every day. It's a daily thing that we must do in this race. Praise the name of the Lord. The third point is those that are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, they have wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Not just wisdom alone, get understanding as well. We can use the example of Solomon. He had great wisdom, but what happened at the end of the day? He veered off and ended up with, you know, so many concubines, so many wives, those that turned him away from God. Wisdom is good, but get understanding. And not just any wisdom, the wisdom of God, not wisdom of the world. The last point is those that are wise as serpents and harmless as doves is they are obedient. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Any more contributions?
I picked that is actually of interest to me, which is when you mentioned that a lot of people on paper, they are actually ordained, but then in actual fact, like spiritually, there's still a long way to go, which is very true. And I think one thing that in our time, or maybe generally, some people have failed to understand is that not everybody is designed to be like, quote unquote, a pastor. There are some people that their ministry is actually supportive ministry, back end ministry, working from the rear, putting things together. They really don't have to be up there on the altar or the pulpit preaching and being ordained as pastor, which I think has led to, you know, a lot of things that we see, you know, in Christianity these days. And also, you also mentioned something again that is also of interest to me, which is the fact that there's a process. I think what you were trying to say is that there's a process to getting to a particular, you know, destination. It's not just trying to walk without crawling, trying to run without walking, and all of that. There's actually a process indeed, because I remember last week when we were talking, Mommy Pastor mentioned something that this person, who does this person answer to, like this particular pastor, like who nurtured him, you know, spiritually, which goes a long way to say that even in our walk, there's expected to be like a covering for us, like in the process of trying to get to where we are going to, like being spiritually built and all of that. We are also expected to, you know, follow due process to learn, you know, because if we don't go through that process, when come our way at the other end, it becomes very hard for us to face those things. Why? Because we've skipped the process that will actually make us, that will actually build us and fortify us with that wisdom, with that, you know, knowledge and with that strength. Praise God.
Praise God. Oh, one quick thing I just want to point out, in line with what Mr. Kemi has just mentioned. You know, in that verse 16 of Matthew 10, just want to just speak on the A part. The Bible says, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. And I'm just going to buttress what Sister Kemi has said. The question is, who has sent you out? Here, the Bible says, I am sending you. The question that we need to ask ourselves, even as we journey in this race that we say God has called us to, is who has God actually sent us? Or is it pastor that sent us? Or is it general overseer that sent us? Or is it my HOD that sent us? Or sent you or whatever? The Bible says that I am sending you. God has to send you for you to be able to actually be empowered to be able to dwell in the midst of the wolves that has been said is out there for us to catch us, God forbid, not to help make us get to the promised land. So we need to, as we journey in this race, I think that is one thing that stood in out for me, that who has actually sent me? Who sent me? Do I have the conviction that God has actually sent me to what I'm doing? The ministry that I am in, has God really called me to it? Or is it because, I think my HOD think I'm good in singing, let me be there. Or my pastor think I'm good, I welcome guests well, I have this charisma, let me be there. We should ask ourselves that who has actually called us to the place that we have called ourselves. Because then, if it's not God that's called us to that place, that's when we struggle a lot. That's when we don't get fulfilled in life. Because if you call yourself to where God has not called you, there's bound to be frustration. If you call yourself to where God has not called you, there's bound to be failure. Because that is not where. It's just like when you put a puzzle. If you don't put the correct part to the correct part, you just be fumbling around and around, and you will not never get it unless you get the correct part that would fit into that puzzle part. So as we go on, as we walk in this race, each time we want to do something for God, each time we are led to do something, let's always check with God. And we all have different ways that God speaks to us. And again, it is very important that we find that way so that we'll be able to know that God is actually telling us to be where we are, or called us to where we are, so that we can be fruitful, so that we can have the grace. Because that, again, people that struggle in ministry, people that, and I'm sorry, I'm not being judgmental, but I want to believe that, because the Bible says that He has called us and He has given us everything that we need for that which He has called us to. So if we are struggling in the in the place, in the position, in the ministry, then we need to check it. Because there's grace for every office. There's grace for every position that God has called you to. It might be difficult for some, but sometimes, but it shouldn't be difficult all the time. It can't. So that means there's something wrong somewhere. So we need to always find, as God called me into this. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to quickly add that to what we should understand. Like, you know, positions as pastor, deacon, or whatever it may be, they're all good things. And we shouldn't just deny it for the sake of denying it. But what we should take away from that first verse in Matthew 16, like it said, is that the Lord is sending us out. So let us seek direction and guidance from the one who is sending us out into where we should go. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I just want to kind of stress more on that verse 16. We discover that we are more or less messengers. We were sent on an assignment. It is not about us. It's not about you. It's not about your ego. It's not about your personality. See, if you look at another translation, you know, that same passage we looked at, the message, it said, don't draw attention to yourself. Don't draw attention to yourself. We are messengers. We are just a vessel that God is passing through to pass a message to people. Whatever calling we have, whatever place God has called us in the house of God, God wants us to take that position of just being messengers. As it were, you are not calling attention to yourself. So you see, like he described the serpent. The serpent is hard for you to spot a snake. Very hard. Very, very difficult for you to spot it. It can blend. It can hide. It's so sneaky. Very, very sneaky. And that's the way God wants us to be as servants. Let's know we were sent. Don't draw attention to yourself. Don't draw things like you matter. No. It is God himself that matters, whatever calling God has called us onto. And I believe that's the only way we can survive in the midst of the wolves that God has sent us, you know, in the midst of. Because you see, if you draw attention to yourself, what you are trying to tell you is that you are pointing yourself out already as a target. But if you don't draw attention to yourself, you are only carrying the message that God has called you. God covers you by that same grace where he has called you to that position that he has called you to his house. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I have a question. And I really hope I'm still on course, but I think it's a follow-up to one of the things that I mentioned in my contribution. So maybe Daddy would help us. I think my question is directed to Daddy, because it's been something that... yeah, no, Daddy, come back. Because it's been something that I've always asked, but I've really not gotten the right answer over time. And it's this thing. Okay, it has to do with, this is reading. You know, back home, I've seen cases whereby someone is very active in church, like maybe a very vibrant Sunday school teacher and all of that. And before you know it, this person is being told to go and head a parish. And this person is like, me, I'm only here doing what God has called me to do. I'm only here because I have the ministry of teaching, but not necessarily because I want to be a pastor. Like, and then the person puts in all this, and because of that, I noticed that it's not just one, two parishes that I've seen this thing. I think it became like, you know, something that was very common, that people now started to pull back, because when they are seen being very active and doing stuff well, before you know it, they'll go and call you that you need to go and be mommy pastor in one new parish that they are using Let's Go Fishing to establish. Now, in the light of what we just mentioned today, like what Brofemi mentioned, that, you know, we shouldn't hurry, because I've seen cases whereby this person maybe is even just coming up, and then you are trying to, you know, saddle that person with the responsibility of going to lead others, when even he himself has not gone through that, you know, that process that we are talking about. So in this kind of situation, how do we handle it? Because wisdom is profitable. Now, you've been told that come and go and head the parish. You are in between, because they are looking at it that, would it not look like I'm turning down the work of God? I'm disobeying the order that has come from above. And between the fact that, oh, I haven't, on this other side, I haven't actually heard from God that I should go do this, and I think I should still be a Sunday school teacher that I am. How do we handle stuff like this? Because like I said, I think there was a time that, I know people that, because they will say, I don't want to participate, because before you know it, if you overact now, they'll tell you to go and head a parish. So at some point, I feel like it's counterproductive, even though we have like the good motive at heart. But then you see people trying to draw back because they don't want to go and head a parish. On the other side, for those that eventually accept, they tend to mess up. Why? Because they've not gone through the process properly, but then they are just put there, go and lead people. When you yourself you are not ripe, and then you want to go and, how do we handle stuff like this in the church?
Praise the Lord. The first thing is that you are very correct. And we need to go into the background, the genesis of this. God gave a mandate to the church. There was a covenant with the church. And to fulfill that covenant, God gave church some mandate from where the church drew mission. And you discover something that came out very clearly, or that came out clearly in the vision of the church, is in order for us to take everybody, you know, all those things together, we planned churches. And the overall objective is churches should be 5 minutes walk. Is it 5 minutes or? Okay. Now, that vision, there is nothing wrong with it. It has worked before. But when men started competing and getting out of even the understanding of that vision and the mission, and it becomes something that is backed up by some kind of motives and personal agenda, we began to drift. And you discover it's becoming a more or less competition. And because, unfortunately, okay, that the GO does not know so many things. I'm telling you the truth. There are key things that God will just tell him. Because God does not want him to bother with too many things. Otherwise, the man will collapse. Now, because there is now issue of how many parishes you plant, how far you expand, increase, is linked to promotion. For those who desire that kind of promotion, not, you know, allowing the promotion to come from God, those who want to get that promotion using their own flesh to do it, that is what has led the church to that. I was one of them. I was a GOC. I hardly had time. I was on the road virtually almost 20 days out of 30 in a month. And the provincial pastor called me and said he wanted to ordain me a pastor and give me a parish. And I'm coming back to tell you how it's supposed to be handled. And he said, Daddy, you know, you are due now. You have been a deacon for so many years, because that's the way, you know. Even not this one. This is another dimension. And we think now at this your level, at this thing, you should be a pastor. And I said, Pastor, thank you very much. but I'm not ready. He said, no. Daddy, Tabby, you know, I know your schedule and all those things. So I asked him, how do you see a pastor who probably his members will not see for 3, 4, 5 months? They will just be hearing there's one kind of pastor by this name. I said, how do you feel? How do you see it? He said, no, they will give me one vibrant assistant pastor who will be there. Yes. Now, clearly there, I understood the message. The message is not about God's work. The message is not about God. It's not about the church. The message now is about person, personality, individual. Remember my position then. I was a GOC. So you can imagine if I'm a pastor, other one kind, big pastor. It's not just remittance that we go, that we come. So many other things we come. Okay? Of course, that's the parish you'll be coming to minister every now and then. And I got it. And I told him, I say, I'm sorry, sir. I am not prepared. And I told him, and I said, sir, you are my spiritual father. I said, but will you rather want to put somebody to head a church who has not been called to do so and who is not prepared? Will you be prepared for the consequences? Supposing that church, I destroy that church. Will you, I say between us now, between us and God, will you be prepared for God now to ask for the souls of those people from you, sir? Ah, he said, Daddy, this one is very powerful now. Okay, we will talk about it another time. There was no another time again. Now, you see, the truth is this. All what you said is correct. The moment you are vibrant, if you are like this in Nigeria, in any of the churches in Nigeria, I give you just 1 year. They'll call you. Praise the Lord. The church is planting the parish. If you are lucky, the pastor will call you first. If you are unlucky, after one Sunday service, all workers please wait behind. Praise the Lord. Thank God the church is marching on. The gate of hell cannot kill it. We thank God for increase. The church is planting a parish in Greenville. And the following brothers and sisters will please come forward. Brother Sola. And as they call you out, they will give you your appointment. You are the parish pastor. This one, you are the assistant. This, you are the head usher. You are the head this thing. So please bow down your head. And two things have gone wrong here. First of all, you start asking yourself, even if God has spoken, what has God spoken to you that I need to know? That you should tell me before calling me out in the presence of everybody. So you leave that place and you are completely confused. Meanwhile, God is preparing you in that choir for a particular thing. It has not manifested. So you have deviated from the call of God completely. Then you now see yourself in a parish struggling. And Jesus, who said, my yoke is easy and my body is light. But the yoke you carry in that church is actually heavy. Heavy. That is the issue there. But the way to go about it is individual. This is about individual. It has nothing to do with the church. If you are called by any pastor, whether he calls you out, go back to the pastor. Sir, I am sorry. I am not prepared for this. I need time. I will need to pray. I have not heard from God. this is where I want my ministry to go. If you say because of one kind obedience, and you go when you are not called, you are not prepared, it's very dangerous. Posting is a different thing. Daddy Gio, before he appoints all this one you call, you see, in the countries, it takes a lot of processing. In fact, now, there is an interview for some level of promotion in the church. There is interview now. They will call you and say, we want to make you provincial pastor. They interview you, you are ready, and you can, we have seen what you are doing, all those kind of things. Then they will call her separately. We want to make your husband the provincial pastor, so. Are you prepared? If you say, no, that's the end. Of course, that's the end. There's no going on. And they have gotten to this level because of all these things. But down there, it's still happening. But please, when you are called individually into the ministry. And it is you who will give account to God. Don't allow, even in this church, pastor can see you and say, we want you to go and work in this other department. Please, if you know, because there is something they call unreckonable service, not recorded. You just serve, it is blank. And at the end, you are waiting there and smiling. And they open the book. There's no record. Say, but I was this thing. Jesus will say, I didn't send you there. You sent yourself. But it was my pastor. Oh, is it your pastor now? Who commissioned you? Who sent you? I had similar example here. In this place. When I was called and they say, okay, we want you to... people will not know this one. It's just between me and it's very few people. And they say I should go somewhere and go and be a pastor. And I say, at my age, first of all, you want me to be driving over 3 hours to my parish? I say, no, this is not God. I said, this is not God. I said, number one, I can't even cope. You see, you don't tempt God and say, oh, grace will abound. I will go and be heading a parish where I'll be doing service once in a week, maybe 3 hours or 2 hours. Do you call that? And you are responsible for souls? So I said, no. And later on, within 1 month, I saw the reason. It was just politics of the church. If I had gone, at the end of the day, God will ask me, did I bring you here? So please, that is the way to somebody, people are timid. Wisdom. See, when it comes to this kind of a thing, you have to be bold to say, sir, no. I hope it is getting better, but I know they still do it. Ideally, you should call the brother. The Holy Spirit is leading you to say that we are planting a parish and we are looking at you heading it. Please go and pray about it and come back. If you go and pray and you come back and you say, I am sorry, sir, I can't do it, the pastor should let you go. Immediately. Even if he has heard from God. He will only encourage you, I heard from God. I still want you to go and pray. But if you say no, we will put somebody there. I hope God will speak to you. This is a very dangerous thing. So many people have lost they have ended up in destruction because of that. God will help us in Jesus' name. Just quickly, I wanted to make a few contributions on this thing. When you look at the beginning of the text, the passage we read, Matthew chapter 10. When you look at the beginning, Jesus actually, and that's to tell you, when a thing like this, I always want to go back, look, read back, read forward. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all of disease. First of all, these ones he was sending out have received power. Those he was sending out. That's why it was easy for him to just tell them, be wise. And he again even explained further that if you get to a town and it is hot, oh, if you read it down, he said, what do you do? He said, move to another place. Trying to explain the wisdom he's talking about. If you get to a house and they don't welcome you, just say, oh, if you take your peace and go away. If you enter a place and they say no, just shake your shoe and don't go and pin down there and say you must say these people must be converted by force. Then now you are tempting the wolves. I must win soul in this town. Then you are tempting the wolves. Okay? Because when they begin to deal with you, Christ will say wisdom. Okay? So that's why he explained it. He explained all. He said, because temptations will come. Don't we deny you and all those things. Be wise. But above all, lo, I'm with you in all the ways. So, what about us? How does it affect us now? That's what we should now conclude. We go out there. Yeah, we are practical. We are some of, all of us here. We go out. Don't we see it? Have we not been applying wisdom? Of course, the last time we went out, oh, there were things we saw. First of all, there was a place that was caged. They sell liquor. Only liquor in that place. Yes, you pay, is it $30? Yeah. Then you have access. And there's a cop there, safe, who is supposed to supervise him because there's money. So you have access. You know, you go in. In all the places we were sharing our distance, I told them, nobody, that's not part of where we are supposed to go. First of all, if you go in, you must pay. You must pay first. Okay? And then you can go in and now meet somebody. And once you go in, you are allowed to taste all the liquor. So you can imagine a drunk man who started tasting from table 1, table 2, table 3. He's already drunk before he gets to table 10. And then you go to him, and there's a cup somewhere. And you say you are talking this, and he punches you. The two of you are going to be grabbed. Okay. Yes. Okay. So we merely went around that place and just left them alone. In any case, there were too many other people. We met some. It was Femi. And that one said, why are you commercializing my Jesus? I loved him so much. We are commercializing Christ. Okay, some dropped the track in the trash can. We went back and picked our thing. Wisdom, but gentle as dove. And we all left there in one piece. That's the thing. And this applies to us now. That's what we are seeing. That's why you see somebody, as we are talking, he looks at you from the top to the bottom, up again, and just hiss and goes away. Of course. You just say, God bless you. If some other time, before you accept Christ, you want to tell that person who he is to. God will help us in Jesus' name. But in all this thing, the Holy Spirit is with us. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Praise the name of the Lord. I just want to add to what Daddy has been talking about. Many of us, we saw a video of a man
preaching or, you know, witnessing in London. And the police came, they said it was disturbing. And he started arguing with them. Seriously, why? I'm preaching about Christ. I'm talking about Christ. He was so fussy about it. And then they handcuffed him. Be wise as a serpent. Is that not what? They tell us sometimes, here we go, Daddy, you remember when we went to a shopping center and we got there and they told us that we are soliciting, we have to move. And we call ourselves, we left. There are certain things you cannot do. That's why he put that thing there, that in the Bible, that if you get to a place and they don't accept you, dust your feet. He didn't tell you to start to argue with them. That's where you have to be wise as a serpent that we are talking about. Daddy was talking about one thing. If they give you, they said you are going to be a pastor, you better go back into your own closet and begin to cry to God. Is this what you want me to do? The story Daddy was sharing here, after they pushed every one of them, the one who took it, and they were going on every time, every Sunday or every, when the zone, was it the zone or the province, was to take over the thing, they said, okay, you are the pastor of the place, and then everybody, hey, we are sending pastor to the place. When another zone pick up, and they did their prayer and everything, they just push out everyone that was going there. And a pastor from different area, if I mention, like from New Jersey, was picked to go and pastor that church that this parish set up. Are you getting my point? We were the one who set up the church. We were going from every Sunday. We will go and, you know, do the service over there. This is not 2 hours journey. I'm telling you, it's about 4 hours. 4 hours. And we will go in the morning. We wake up in the morning, like about six. Everybody, Daddy did it. mommy pastor did it. Our pastor did it. They were rotating us. We were going Sunday school and everything. After almost a year, when this particular church has spent, I don't want to mention the amount, there, when that church was to begin, there was someone here who was supposed to pastor the church over there. They just brought their own pastor and took your pastor. Boom. Yeah, here in America. Take wisdom. They tell you to do something. If you are not sure of it, go back. Be on your knee and cry to God. Is this what you want me to do? You see, majority of us, we just forget that area. And we take it, we take that responsibility, and that thing that I'm telling you, that Daddy mentioned here, caused a lot of problem for some people. So, the issue here that we are studying today is for us to be wise as serpent. You are not rejecting. You are not saying that you will not do it. But go back. Okay, sir. Can you give me a week? Let me discuss. Let me take it with God. God will tell you, if he wants you to go, believe me, he will show up. It's one thing will come. He might send someone to you that you don't know at all, that will tell you that, okay, this is what I want you to do. But there's nothing. Don't let us say that we're not going to ask. Go, and then you go. Praise the name of the Lord.
Okay. We have just 30 seconds, please, because we have to really run.
What I was just going to add is the ultimate source of wisdom is God. So there's no wisdom outside of God. If you are talking about wisdom and you don't include asking God for wisdom, and like we have all said, going back to God, not just as it relates to ministry alone, in every area of our lives, in every aspect of our lives, asking God per time, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it makes the difference, actually, in our responses, in our disposition, in our relationship with people. It makes the world of difference. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to help us. The Bible says He will teach us all things. He will bring to our remembrance all that we have learned. So I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us pray. I just want us to pray one prayer and ask God for the grace to be wise as serpents and to be harmless as doves, as the Holy Spirit has led us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in everything that we do, help us to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you glory, honor, and adoration, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you help us, O Lord, to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves in all that we do in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask for your guidance and direction as you send us out, O Lord, as sheep among wolves. Father, Lord, help us to do all according to your will in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stretch our hands to our brother and begin to pray for him, that this what he has taught us today will not stand against him on the last day. Let us pray that the grace for him